from 2SCR FM 107.3 in Sydney, Australia. How are you today?
Speak closer to the mic.
Can you speak up a little bit to the mic, please? Because I can't hear you.
A bit soft.
I can't hear you. I can hear you now. Talk.
What about now?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah.
Okay, that's perfect.
Okay.
So,
can I repeat what I was about to say again, if that's okay?
Yes. So, yeah.
Okay. So, we're live. Are you ready to record, Jabby?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Jabby. My name is Marcus Adodi from 2SCR 107.3 FM in Sydney, Australia. How are you today?
Hi, Marco. I'm fine. I'm just now in Cordoba, Spain, so very close to Barcelona and La Sagrada Familia.
Okay, that's very good. Okay, so today we are talking about the article that you saw in the Tony Guardi there. Okay? So I've got a few questions to ask you, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, yes, go ahead.
All right, so my first question is to ask you, why is the architect from Catalonia, Toni Guidi, said it was the title of venerable for his dedication for Pope Francis?
Okay, so Antoni Gaudí, it's a very special architect in the history of his modern Spanish architecture, because he is very unlike other from his generation. So that would be 19th century, early 20th century. He had a very sparse private life, no wife, no kids, and he was dedicated to his architecture. He was involved in a lot of religious projects from his 20s, 30s. So through his whole life, he developed his unique style. His unique style was applied to a lot of religious projects. So that's why there is a very strong connection between the work of Gaudí and Catholic Church. Sagrada Familia is his main work. It's a lifetime work.
Okay. My second question will be about this religious book here, the Sagrada Familia, as you were mentioning before. Tell me about the religious book from the printer and seller, Jose Maria Bocabella, who bought this site in the association, even though the construction was promoted and it started in 1882. What's the story behind this?
Yeah, it's like actually Sagrada Familia, that now if anyone from your audience visit Barcelona, it's one of these massive, even if the building is not finished, it's something that you have to see, and it's a very interesting touristic visit. The thing with Sagrada Familia, it's supposed to be, once it's finished, it will be the cathedral of Barcelona. And in some way, it's, despite that it's been made in the last 100 years, his process is very similar to the old churches in Europe. It's something that started in the 19th century. Actually, Gaudí never planned to finish the building in his lifetime, so he planned ahead for the continuation of the project. And also because this building is funded by donations, by charity, it took longer than expected. So it's like a very slow-paced building site that's been building for the last 100 years. If you compare that to other religious buildings made in the 20th century, that's different. Normally they take a couple of decades. So it's very similar to the old churches in the past. So it's quite remarkable for that, but also for the architecture itself. It's extremely unique. because Gaudí's style was very unique. It's not like in that period, that is in Europe, you have this the modernist movement, which is this very ornamental, precious style that you have very good examples in Brussels, you have very good examples in Barcelona. But Gaudí was like a very unique. He has his own ideas. And in history books, they play Gaudí as a very introverted person with no family and totally dedicated to develop his unique style. So that's why the temple is different, because of the unique time lapse, like taking all the way 100 years, by also the uniqueness of Gaudí's style. And now it's coming to being unique, because it might be the first saint, architect saint, Catholic saint. So it will add another layer of uniqueness to the building. If that happens, if the building is complete, because it's not complete yet, and if Gaudí gets the sainthood.
Okay. My fourth question would be, when will this building will be completed?
Nobody knows. Because the plans, for example, before COVID, the plan was to have it by 2026, which is the same with the death anniversary death of Gaudí, but because of COVID, everything got delayed. Now they're saying 2030, but it's true that it has been delayed for many times. This is because it's, as I said, it's funded by donations. For example, now that touristic visits plays a big role on finance the construction. So in the last couple of decades, the construction had to speed up, because now you can see an almost finished building. So a lot of people visit when they go to Barcelona. So the plans are 2030, but you never know. You never know.
Okay. Do we know the cost of this building yet, or not really?
I think it's impossible to cost this building, because it has been built for 100 years. It's true that there were some decades that there were no... I think giving an estimate would be a very... You know, it's easy to put a number, but you have to consider so many things. What is unique is that it's been, in some way, funded by donations. It's true that at the beginning, the donations were smaller. Then... a lot of like the bourgeois, like the wealthy people of Barcelona, start to put, once the whole project started to take a reality, wealthy people start to donate. Now it's true that there is some public organizations that they donate money to. So, but again, this is very, there were periods during the 80s that everything was stopped, and people were, architects and local people were asking to demolish or to leave it as a ruin. So it would be very hard to put a number on something like that that has been so organic and so long.
Okay. So I got another question would be, when did it start getting the lack of funds from Gaudí there, from that construction, even though it has never been completed? When did that start, the lack of funds of the donations?
It's not like a time of... You have to imagine that through the history of that, the 20th century history in Spain was very, very violent. We have a dictatorship, we have a civil war. So, for example, something that happened during the civil war is that the building site was sacked. They destroyed a lot of drawings and models, and that made the whole, you know, getting started after the civil war was very difficult. because of that. And in the article, I mentioned that even in the 80s, it posed a problem because there was no drawings, there was no models. So at some point, they didn't know how to keep going because there was no information. And Gaudí was also unique in the way he barely drew. He had main drawings of the whole structure, but the details, they were describing models. So there were no models, so they couldn't keep going until they applied some quite avant-garde techniques in the late 80s, early 90s, in which in some way they reconstructed those destroyed models using computation. And actually, there were some people from Australia helping on that, from the University of Melbourne. So in the last 30 years, it has been it's also interesting that thing that this park is a very old building, very, very new construction techniques and design techniques have been applied in the last few decades. Robotic automation to make things, using computing to figure out how some details were done. So I think that's a layer of, it makes the building even more interesting because it's not something from the past, it's something that has been evolving. Like many other churches, historical churches, like Gothic churches in Europe, that they started in a period and they evolved. The architecture evolved through the different centuries that the construction took place. So, it's unique in that way too.
Okay. Tell me some interesting stories or history that you know in the Spanish era or what you know since you've been writing stories and stuff like that.
Well, connected to Gaudí, I didn't mention in the article, but it was very interesting that he had a very monocle life. He lived like a monk. That's something odd that happened when he actually died on his way to his daily walk to the building site, and he was run by a train. Because he didn't have, he had a very, he lived like a monk and he looked like a beggar, actually. So when he died, nobody claimed the corpse for, I think it was 2 or 3 days, because people thought that the person that died there was just a beggar on the street. So that gives you an idea of how devoted this person was to his architecture. And actually, after he died, for almost 3 decades, Gaudí wasn't considered architect worth to consider, worth to study. In the history of Spanish architecture, Gaudí was considered like an oddity, something weird that made weird buildings. And then he died in this kind of weird circumstances. And after it had to be in the 50s and 60s, is when actually from the outside, a lot of international historians started to realize that his body of work was very unique, not only for in the Spanish framework, but as an international architect. And they made some effort to promote his work and made some international exhibitions. And then that led to people studying his work in more detail. And I think that was a key element for, in some way, restarting the interest for finalizing Sagrada Familia. Otherwise, if there was no people claiming back his legacy, I think the project probably would have died down and just become a ruin in the middle of Barcelona, which is also interesting, right? So I think it's a project that defines well 20th century in Spain. That was a very, very difficult era, big changes, and also the moment in which Spain opened up internationally through tourists, that now Spain is one of the major touristic destinations in the world. And I think it defines well. You can see a lot of similarities looking at the Sagrada Familia and the history of Spain in the last 100 years.
Okay. And my final question is, for the 1990s, the new digital fabrication technologies, for example, the 3D printings and the robotic stone engravings, tell me the story behind the reasonable budget and time framing when Guardi was doing the impossible shapes when he kept it under construction.
So he used a lot of model making because it was very difficult at that time when he was designing the church. It was very difficult to draw these things. Very similar to Gothic architecture, that Gothic architecture was developing models to, and talking with the stone masons, like if you were working, there was no architects really, it was all craft persons. So Gaudí was working with models, clay models, and these hanging rope models that they made that are very interesting, that are exhibited on the Sagrada Familia. And then, because those models were destroyed, in the 90s, they had to figure out, actually, the architects that were apprenticeship with Gaudí, they kept going. So in the 90s, they were almost 90 years old. And this very young, I think it's from New Zealand, but graduated in Cambridge, it's called Mark Burry, came down as a student, and he was very interested on the Sagrada Familia. And I think he was one of the key persons that then he became, I think, research director in the Melbourne Institute of Technology to try to figure out how to bring, reinvent those destroyed models. And he applied something that is called parametric design, which is a way to create variations of us. Instead of making like a copy, like a sculpt copy, you create variations of the same feature. And you can create like a family of these things. And that's done, you need a computer to do that. And then building those things were also very difficult. And the expertise was lost. There was no stone masons that they could produce that. Or the very few ones, they were very slow producing that. So the other technological advancement was the use of robotic arms that they could mill the stone very precisely. And then 3D printing was very important for the rapid prototyping of the details, right? So you were doing those things with a computer, then rapid prototyping plastic with a 3D printer, and then jump into big robots that they will mill the stone. So, which is very unique. And we see all these 3D printed buildings and things like that, but this happened in the late 80s, early 90s. So it was extremely avant-garde back then.
Okay. Is it okay when I end the conversation with you to take a photo with your permission and
sure.
The story as well? I just want to know, because we're doing it for copyright issues here, so it's just for purposes like that. So you're okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it's been very interesting talking to you, Javi Garcia. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful day. And I'm keen to see you again whenever we can for some interesting Spanish history stories.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, I'll send you an email too, okay, to confirm about the photo stuff, okay? Very soon,
perfect.
Okay?
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Recordings.